Well, thank you. That's really, really, really sweet. Yeah, it's as many of you probably know, I was a student here not that long ago. It's what, 2020, right, Mary? It was, I graduated 2020, you're 2021. Yeah, so it was last couple years. Time has not been kind to me. Yeah, it was just an incredible move of God while I was here. I remember, I know many of you, who's getting baptized today? Somebody's getting baptized. Come on. All right. I remember getting baptized right back there in a horse trough, which is way, this is way nicer. Like, way to go. Like, major upgrade. Is that warm? Ours was warm, but it was not quite right. It just never felt, because it was like, and then it'd get cold. It was just not a great experience. But we encountered the Lord. That's the big thing. So, speaking of baptisms, one of the things, I just want to show you guys this picture real quick of my son. He got baptized. This is most of my family there. There he is, Lennon. And he got baptized on his 8th birthday. And what's amazing about that is God told me 2 years, when he was 6 years old, he's like, he's going to start following God when he's 8. And I was like, Lord, could it be please a little sooner? He's kind of a mess at home. And so we just kept praying. And I forgot about that. I had written it down somewhere, forgot about it. And then we start talking, and Melissa was like, I really think he's given his life to Jesus. You know, we didn't want to, you know, with any kids, when you have kids and you're a believer, you're like, I don't want to put hands on them too early and say they're a Christian. I want it to be their thing, because God doesn't have any grandchildren, right? He's only got children, so it's got to be their thing. And so I was like, we want to see the fruit of it. And sure enough, over about the course of 8 months, when he was 7, he just started seeing a change, a love for Jesus, a desire to spend time with them. He was being kinder to his brothers. You know, just there's fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. And then he started asking me, he's like, can we go through the one-to-one? And I was like, wow, that's an interesting question from a 7-year-old. But yes, he could barely read, so we just kind of like went through it as well as we could. But then on his 8th birthday, there's baptisms coming up, and I had just forgotten about that, was that the prophetic word God had given me. And then the day of his baptism, God reminded me. He said, don't you remember what I told you when he's 8? He was going to start walking with the Lord. And it was, I didn't know. It wasn't like we scheduled it. So today is on purpose. If you're getting baptized today, it's not an accident. God's wanting to do something great in your life. And this, what a time to get baptized, y'all. Goodness gracious. With what God is doing right now on the earth, it's an incredible time. So I might pray a couple times throughout the sermon, but I'm going to pray right now to kick us off, all right? Lord, thank you for this moment, this Kairos moment. God, not only this morning with those who are getting baptized, who are saying publicly, I'm going to follow Jesus the rest of my life. I pray you meet them in the water, God, that you show them your power while they're there. God, that you move on them, but God, you are moving on a generation. You're moving on a country right now. What a time, what an honor to live in these times. Other people prayed to see these times, and we get to see them. And so I'm just thankful this morning about what you're going to do. I pray for great faith, God, to arise in this house, God, for all things being possible in this city. Seeing the lost come in, God, seeing the poor enriched through you, Jesus. I pray that our faith would rise for the high schools, the junior highs, and our own lives and homes and houses. Let it be in the city as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's a lot to talk about this morning. My goodness, if you've been on any kind of Christian social media at all, like you've been on Twitter, but you got a bunch of Christian people you follow, or Instagram or TikTok or whatever you're on, you've probably been noticing God's been doing some stuff. And about a year ago, actually about last May, there's a prophetic guy in our movement, and that just is a fancy way of saying that this guy in our movement, he hears God clearly. God talks to him, and he can hear him kind of clearly. And his name's Jim LaFoon. Some of you guys know of him. It's a very clear word. In other words, he can really hear God pretty well. And he said, back in May, he said that God was going to begin to move in this country and the young people like we hadn't seen in decades. And he's like, it was going to come, and it was just the raindrops of revival were going to begin to fall in the fall, speaking of 2022. And so we started from our vantage point. I'm the ENC regional director, as you mentioned, so I get to hear about all the stories that are happening and the testimonies throughout all the region. And sure enough, in August, what began to happen was a lot of our campus ministries started to have their biggest large groups ever.
They started to have their biggest small groups ever, and we were hearing about people getting saved left and right. We did the fall retreat this past year. The fall retreat is this big retreat we do in the region where hundreds of students come in from Virginia and North Carolina to worship God. And in 2021, we had the most students ever at fall retreat. And then in 2022, we had 100 more students come. It's just incredible. Yeah, it's incredible. You've got a hand for that. Go ahead. Yeah, that's fine. And so do we have that picture up? Can we show that? Yeah, there they are. There they are. And see that guy got up there safely on top of that? He got down safely too. Praise God. And so, but hundreds of students worshiping God. 400 people were there that weekend. And you know what? That was in the middle of Hurricane Ian. You guys remember sending your students to that? I know a van got taken out somehow, but your people still got there. You guys remember that? A van from this church. I remember getting the phone call, like, oh, Lord, let it be. Let them get here. And so, anyways, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the rain, God moved. He moved in a mighty way. And I have never in my life, ever, period, experienced the presence of God like I did at that fall retreat. I couldn't move. I'm not kidding. I couldn't lift my body up off of my knees. Like, I was stuck because of the love of God, the presence of God in that room. It was just the beginning, but it was just the beginning. Because a few weeks later, God gave us a dream, my wife and I dream about going to App State. I had never planned to go to App State. I got enough. Anybody else feel like, I got enough on my plate. I'm good right where I am. You know, I don't need anything else to do. Well, I felt like I was supposed to go. I kept having this dream. And so I was like, all right, I'll go. You know, let's see what happens. You know, little faith. But anyways, went in. Went to App State. And while I was there, we found out they were doing a God's Not Dead event. And so we brought some people to help pass out flyers. And God's Not Dead event is this big outreach you do on campus to tell students to come and hear about Jesus and intellectual reasons for believing in God. And so we pass out all these flyers. And the auditorium that these students are going to meet in that night only holds 400. And that night, over 700 students showed up. 700 students. Do we have the pictures of it? And so you can see students sitting in the aisles. They're sitting. That's where they, and you know what? They sat there for 2 hours. What, just so hungry. That's what happens when God begins to move. People just get hungry. Can we show the back wall? Look, just up there, they're everywhere. I mean, it's like, where would you even go? There wasn't even standing room only. There was no room only, right? Students were standing in the lobby, I'm not kidding, for 2 hours listening to what was going on inside. Why? Because God is moving. Oh, dozens of students at this event gave their lives to Jesus. One of the students is a football player, and I kept going to App State afterwards because my lightning fast mind realized God might be doing something here. And so I kept going to App State. And while I was there, I met with a football player. And he told me, he said, ever since y'all came, my life was totally changed. And he said, and I said, well, what do you mean? You know, and he said, well, he's like, I was drinking. I was doing the whole party thing. I was really living for myself. And he's like, and I met Jesus that week. And he's like, it changed everything. He's like, he started going to this worship night that they started on their campus. It started with like 3 students and now has 120 students that meet every week in like 3 months. And he started going to that and he says, this is where I get filled up now. I used to get filled up, try to get filled up partying. That didn't work at all. And so I started going to this and this is where I actually have life. And he says, I'm not just reading the Bible. He's like, I'm reading the Bible, but I got my parents reading the Bible now. My mom's calling me. She's like, what is this hat with Acts 3 thing about the Holy Spirit? What is that? He was asking me. He's like, what's that about? I was like, I don't know. No, I was kidding. I was like, no, this is, this is what it's about. And so anyways, it's just incredible. God moving. Come on. There is something happening. This is a moment. And so that you might just think that's it, but that ain't it. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. It's just the first drops. So then in February, again, you know, I'm super smart. So I'm like, hey, you know, that seemed to, God did something at App State. Maybe if we did the same event at NC State, he'd show up. And so we put on this big God's Not Dead event. Oh, there it is. That's what happened. Okay, right to the end. There we go. Okay. It's the end of the movie right there. Bruce Willis, he's a ghost. No, I'm just kidding. There we go. But no, that's, That's amazing. So what we had was the biggest God's Not Dead event it's ever been done at NC State. And let me tell you what's even more amazing about that is that day, which is a Wednesday, was the wettest day of the century. I'm talking like rained all day, and then an hour before our pastor, Pastor Taylor, he was there, and you know, he's not going to hype anything up. He's like, Alan, it was a deluge outside. It was just like if you'd taken the ocean and it just like dumped it on NC State. I was like, nobody's coming to this thing. You know, not really. I didn't say that exactly. I was scared to say that. But I was like, God, please let somebody come. And sure enough, 800 students show up. And almost 100 give their lives to Jesus. It's amazing. 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 Okay, maybe that's it. Maybe that's just all that God's going to do. No. And then Asbury. Who's been following Asbury? Come on, this Asbury revival, if you haven't been following it, it's amazing. Check this out, this next slide. So it's been spreading all across the country. Thousands of students have heard the gospel. Thousands of students have been sent out from this place in Asbury, at Asbury University, that began with, so I actually went, you can see me right there on the right-hand side. I made it into the news. That's how much they were promoting this, is that it was like they're taking so many pictures of this. I saw this on CNN and other places. Not that picture, but just pictures in general. It's just like all over the place. And so next slide. It started with 19 students. 19 students 2 weeks before. And then 100,000 people have been there. God is on the move, y'all. And if that was, we could just stop right there. That was amazing. Asbury was incredible, but it didn't stop there. It's spread since then to over 40 different places. Do we have the slide for that? 40, I put NC State at the bottom because I was like, wink, it's going to happen in the name of Jesus. What he really needs is UNC Chapel Hill, especially after all those losses. Now it's like 40-something. It started at these Christian universities. It went from Asbury, which is Methodist, to Lee, which is Pentecostal. University to Samford, which is a Baptist university, and then it spread out from the Christian universities, and is actually all these different churches are experiencing it. To this point, we can't even really track it anymore, but it's also spread out to Texas A&M. Do we have that slide? Which is a secular university. Listen to this. Students worshiping for 7 hours on their campus. Look at that hunger. Look at that. That's just God moving, y'all. That's just a Kairos moment. That is something that God is stirring in the atmosphere right now. And it's spreading all over the place. And it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. And so what I'm here to talk to you about this morning is how you get in on this. How do you get in? Because these moments don't last forever. The Jesus Revolution didn't go on forever and ever and ever. Anybody see that movie this weekend? Yeah, come on, that's a great movie. I cried about half that movie. I haven't cried a long time in a movie, but I was crying that whole movie. I was like, this is so amazing, God, what you're doing. So it was. Jesus is moving to all these campuses, and I believe he's not even close to done. It's just the start, and I don't want you to miss it. I don't want to miss it. Again, people wish they could live in these moments. I mean, how many of us have prayed for these moments? How many of us have prayed for the country to turn around, have prayed for people to come to know Jesus, for a move of God, and the honor of getting to see it, to live in such a time as this? What a blessing. What a blessed time. Thank you, Jesus, that we get to see it in our day. Oh my goodness, so many people didn't, and we do. Amazing. Thank you, Jesus. So how do you not miss it? How do you not miss it? Well, you'll have to come to the service tonight while we talk about it then. Okay, that's it. Thank you for your time. Now let me pray. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would give us whatever we need, Jesus, that we wouldn't miss this moment. We wouldn't miss what you're doing on the earth in our day. God, you are moving. And so, Jesus, we submit ourselves to you this morning. Have your way with us. Not the person beside us, not our family members, us. Come in, change us, shape us, send us, whatever you want to do. We're here for you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So what scripture we're going to look at this morning is Acts chapter 3, verse 19. And it says this. It says, "Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." What's happening at Asbury and what's spread to other schools and what's happened at our fall retreats, one of the things that it's marked by is a really sweet presence of just the Lord, a refreshing presence of God. When you come into that, when I came into that environment, I was struck by how easy it was to focus on Jesus, how easy it was to just begin to sing and worship. This morning, if you notice, the slides went out. I don't know if you guys noticed that. It said HDMI input. Like, if you sung that, that's not what the song was supposed to be singing, right? You know what's funny about that? I told Blake, I said, bro, at Asbury and these other places, there's no slides. Maybe that's just God prepping us for just get ready to worship on a beat. You don't need anything. You don't need slides. You don't need screens. You don't need skinny jeans. You don't need smoke machines. Praise God, right? Because some of us are getting a little difficult to fit in those jeans. You know, some of y'all still look good in them, but there's some of us, we don't. We just don't. Thank God. Because it's genuine and real, and it's God, and it's the presence of the Lord, and it will refresh you. How many of you need refreshed? How many of you are like, I would love for God to just refresh me, lift me up, give me comfort, comfort my soul. Oh, count me in on that. The last 3 years, my goodness, what we've been through, what these kids have been through, what a really difficult time. And so the last couple years, if you haven't, you know, this thing called COVID you may have heard of. I know in West Texas they had never heard of it, but I'm pretty sure we have in North Carolina. I've got a lot of friends in West Texas. They were always joking about that, so I felt like that was fair game. But, you know, it was tough. It was difficult among a bunch of other stuff that was going on. And here God comes on the back end to refresh us, to send us times of refreshing. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that, that you would love us and refresh us in one of our more dire times. And I've been noticing this revival is kind of like reverse COVID, okay? You know, COVID spread, and you weren't sure where it's going to go next, and you had to change your plans all the time. And I think this is going to be kind of like that. Like, as God begins to move, this is just the beginning, and so you're going to actually have to change your plans last minute. But instead of a spread of death and hopelessness and fear, it's a spread of eternal life and great hope and the glory of God and times of great refreshing. That's what's coming. That's what's spreading all across this nation. Do you have that slide where they showed where Asbury, like what had happened in Asbury and all the places? Look at all the places it's gone all over the world. People coming in and taking it with them. What's going to happen in Greenville? We put a map of Greenville up there. The same thing. All the pinpoints of the place of the presence of God where he's refreshing people, all the homes that are going to be refreshed. You know, in the first great awakening, that's exactly what happened. It was the homes that were filled with the presence of God in 1737 in Northampton, Massachusetts. I believe the same thing is going to happen if we'll let them. So how do we get in on this? I'm ready to get in on this. So how do we get in on this? Well, one other thing you need to know is that it is a Kairos moment. It's a Kairos moment. You know, the word here for times of refreshing is the word Kairos. Kairos is a particular moment in history. Galatians 4 says, in the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a virgin. There was a fullness of time. That's how God operates. You know, we operate like, okay, we're going to do this, this, this. And God says, no, I have certain times where I just move. And there's nothing you can do about it. You know, it's just going to happen. Jesus revolution, right? 1970, just I'm just going to move. You know what's funny about that? 1969, I think it said, the Time magazine said, God's dead. Is God dead? And then the next year later or 2 years later, it's like the Jesus revolution. God's like, I'll move when I want to move. And he's going to move. And he's moving right now. But it's a moment of his moving. Ephesians 1 talks about there will come a fullness of time, a Kairos moment, when he comes back to judge the living and the dead. That's going to happen too. With the Egyptians, when there was a time when God said, now I'm going to free you. And the same thing in Acts 1, it says this. I think I have it up there. Acts chapter 1, is that on there? He said to them, it is not for you to know
times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. I believe that this is one of those times that he is fixed by his own authority. Now, nobody saw this coming, but here it is. Don't miss the moment. Don't miss the moment. The particular moment fixed in history in this nation for God to move. You can't miss this movement. And that's what was so sad about watching the Jesus Revolution movie is just that, is that people missed it. They missed it because they didn't like people coming in there with no shoes on. And I think that's what's coming. No shoes. No, I don't know what's going. I don't know what's coming. But you know, it wasn't comfortable. It was kind of annoying, maybe. And some people were like, "I don't want any part of this." Not me, Lord. I'm all in. I want every part of it. I don't care what it looks like. I'm in on anything you want to do, because you're God and I'm not. And I love you. And I'll bend the knee at whatever you want to do. Far be it from us to have any kind of judgment on anything God wants to do with whoever he wants to reach. So how do you not miss it? Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Therefore, repent and return. That's the answer. Repenting and returning. Now, what's great about what God is doing in these different outbreakings of the Holy Spirit and outpourings in different places is, as the guy who kicked the whole thing off at Asbury said, after he preached the message, he texted his wife right after he was done, because he's preached to these students. There's only a few students there at Asbury University in their chapel. And he preached to them. And he got off the stage, he texted his wife, and he said, "Well, that was a real stinker. That was actually a pretty bad message. I'm going to go home and take a nap." That's how the whole thing got kicked off. Isn't that nice to hear? And that's so good. If you're a preacher this morning, that's great news. Come on. That's like, praise God. So that's what, I feel great this morning. I'm like, it's not on me, Lord. You do whatever you want to do, you know? It does not have to be good. Maybe that's the qualification. Maybe if it's not good, you know? I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's just amazing. That's how God would start it. And he went home and he got text messages from the people who were there, the students. Some of the faculty are like, "Hey, there's some students like lingering here, worshiping. Maybe you should come back." And he's like, "I'm like really close to my nap." All right. So he goes back. And then he gets there and they're worshiping and he starts to enter in and he texts his friend. He says, "Hey, I'm not going to make coffee. I'm not going to be able to make coffee." How incredible is that? It's a humble, humble way to start something incredible. So point number one is you got to repent and you got to return. And so return, let's focus on that return. What do you guys think about return? When you hear that, those of you that have been around for a little bit, what verse comes to mind? Return. Just shout it out. I'll tell you if you're wrong. I'll just say that's not what I'm thinking of. That's probably in the Bible, but I'm just, yeah, giving you shall receive, sure. What else? Revelation, I'll narrow it down. There's a verse in Revelation that talks about return. Jesus' return, that's actually a really good guess for Revelation, yes. Okay, maybe I should have narrowed this down more. Okay, so yes, return to your first love. That's exactly right. You guys know that verse? Return to your first love. Return to your first love. And I think that's where we are. We've got to return to our first love. If you want to enter in on this, just return to your first love. What are the things that you did at first? One of the amazing things while I was there was what the students kept singing. They kept singing this song, "Day and Night. Night and day, let incense arise." You know that song? And what's great about this, too, is you don't have to be a good singer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right? But they kept singing it. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. And it was a beautiful thing. And just a chorus over and over again. In fact, the people in the audience way overwhelmed those who were on stage. Not out of loud voices, but just they're joining in, singing to the King, singing to Jesus. They had returned to their first love. And that's how these Kairos moments, when you return in these Kairos moments, it's a little different than just returning to your love like you normally do. There's a little bit of extra wind behind you, a little extra ability to push in further. And these students have done a really beautiful thing. before God. I was reminded of Mark 4:14, where the disciples scold this woman who basically take her year salary, a couple year salary, and take perfume and anoint Jesus' feet. And Jesus says to them, he says, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing for me." In these moments, these kairos moments where God moves, I think when he calls you to return to him, it's not just come and read the Bible again. It's do something beautiful for me. Not something heavy, not something, the wind will be behind your back if you'll just say yes. Something beautiful for me. Pour out praise like you did at the beginning. I remember, you know, it's funny, while I was there, I felt like I was supposed to go, you know, bend my knee at the altar and say, "God, what do you want?" And he said, "Time." What a big surprise there, you know, like, wow, okay, yeah, no doubt. Of course he wants my time. Like, I mean, that seems to be the thing that he always wants. But then the guy came up and he prophesied over me, and the guy was standing up there and he just said, "You know, God, I think, would say to you, give him your time in your car." And for me, that's pretty significant, because I remember driving up and down Charles Boulevard with students in the car and us just worshiping the Lord with the windows down. And that was, I think, in retrospect, a beautiful thing to put at the feet of Jesus. There was no one around. There was no real benefit to it. We just wanted to spend time loving on him in some way. And so I don't know what it is for you, but there's something, there's some way you can love him in a beautiful way. Something you can pour at his feet. What is it? What's the thing you can put at his feet? What's the thing you can pour out on him? What part of your day? What time? What worship did you used to sing maybe when you first got saved? What, maybe you came to prayer on Wednesday. What do you guys do, prayer on Wednesdays? Maybe you came to prayer and you worshiped. Maybe you went to the worship night here. Maybe you were in small groups. You did something for him. Return to that and watch how easy it is to do. And funny enough, I did it the last couple weeks, and I'm sitting there in my car just worshiping God. And I'm not kidding. When I called Melissa right afterwards, I felt a violent wind blow on the back of my truck and lift the suspension up. Not the whole like truck. It wasn't like the tires came off. That would be really scary. But I felt like the wind of God just saying, like, I'm in this. I'm in this. And then I began to genuinely, like, I mean, I've cried a lot this week. I haven't cried that much in like a couple years, you know. It's like, and it's just God moving. And he just touched me as I was sitting there worshiping him about this next generation and what he wants to do. Just incredible. And so in the first revival, again, the homes were filled with the presence of God. Their time was filled with the presence of God. What's it going to be like for you? What's your beautiful thing to give them? Really spend some time this week asking them. What is it? Maybe he's even putting it on your heart right now. The second thing here is during these kairos moments, repenting. Well, that's fun. Who's excited about repenting? Come on. Woo! Man, I can't wait to repent and say, "I'm sorry, I did something wrong, Lord." Nobody likes to repent. Not really. It always, always, always. Everybody say always. Always. Revivals always, they always start with Christians. Do you know that? Every revival America's had, it started with Christians. Christians returning and Christians repenting. It always starts here. And then it moves. Once the nominal Christians see the regular Christians on fire, they get jealous. And the nominal, meaning name-only Christians, look in and they say, "I want what that is because I see something now." And then when they get saved, they get their lives changed. Their friends who are not Christians look upon them and say, "What's going on with you?" And they're saying, "Well, I didn't really know Jesus before, but now I do, and I want you to know him too." And that's how revival touches a whole nation. But it starts not with the person beside you, not with your kids, not with your spouse, not with your friends, not with the church. You. Repenting. But that'll be easy too. In a kairos moment, that's an easier thing to do than normal. And so I'll tell you guys, let me be honest with you this morning.
or not. I won't be honest. Okay, so I'm pretty awesome. I don't have any sins. It's great. Yeah, it's no, I'll be honest with you guys this morning. When last week I was doing what I felt like God said, sit in your car, spend time with me, worship me. And I was like, okay. And I'm in there, and he begins to break my heart for this generation. And as I'm there, he shows me where I've been missing the mark, where I need to repent. And it was a different kind of repentance. It wasn't just like, oh, I'm so sorry. It was like, I'm sorry because of what I did not see and how detrimental it is to those who need me to be like this. And so what it was you know, you guys have heard the term hate the sinner. I mean, hate the sinner, gosh, that's terrible. Hate the sin. You haven't heard that term. Good. You're not going to hear that this morning either. Hate the sin, love the sinner. You guys heard that one. Okay, all right, there we go. Hate the sin, love the sinner, right? I don't know about you. The longer I do ministry and the more I see the world sort of deteriorate and all these things in culture are bad and all that, it gets easier and easier to hate the sin. But much harder to love those who don't know Jesus. And I just don't know if that's how Jesus really is. I'm starting to think that maybe he loves the world, and that's why the Father sent his only Son, and that I need to have a heart of compassion and empathy. And if you know me, I do not have empathy. I'm not good at that. It's hard for me. And yet God convicted me about it, not in a harsh way, not in a mean way. It was a warm way. Like I wanted to participate. I wanted to have empathy. And funny enough, that afternoon, my pastor called me up, and he started telling me about the same thing. He'd been reading an article, and he says, you know, have you thought about this at all? And I said, not directed towards me, he's just like, in general, have you thought about this? Like, maybe us as Christians, maybe we've, in previous generations, got one side of it really right, but maybe we've missed out on the heart of it all. And so God began to break my heart. And so rather than seeing people who I can tell by just looking at them are ideologically different than me and being like, that's frustrating, my heart began to break. And I remember thinking, like, I'm just so sorry that you don't know Jesus. Like, that's really where it's at. Like, I'm sorry you don't know him because I know the identity or whatever you're looking for, it's never going to satisfy you ever. And you're desperately looking, and that's a good thing, but you haven't looked at him yet. And maybe my lack of compassion has blocked you in some way from that. And so if I'm in the way at all of that, let me get out of the way and look at him. He's what you're looking for. He's what I was looking for all those years ago. And so the thing that I had to repent of is just that. My love was not great for those who didn't know Jesus, and I'm sorry. And I don't know about you, but in a Kairos moment, the sword pierces, it's just like Mary when she's having Jesus, right? The angel says, the sword will pierce your own heart too. Do you feel that pierce this morning from the Lord? As this move of God sweeps in, don't be surprised this week. God, I felt like, told me this as I was there, is that this week you're going to be sitting in your cars or your homes, and God's going to say, this is where I want you to repent. This is where I want you to turn. And it's going to feel a little different, I think, than normal repentance. It's going to sense, you're going to sense the love of God, and you're going to want to say, I'm all in on that. How can I follow you in this way? That's what I think all you need. Just willingness, y'all. It doesn't have to be this huge, complicated thing. It's just returning to your first love and repenting. And some would say that this revival, then, is marked by the great commandment. Who would have thought? Love God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Turn to him. Love your neighbors yourself. There it is. The devil is super complicated. Woo, he's complicated. God is simple. He makes things easy. He just does. And so this Kairos moment, don't miss it. It's the refreshing's happening. It's sweeping across the nation. It's going on right now. And as Dutch Sheets, you guys might know him. I don't know if you know him, but he said that he prophesied about this 4 or 5 weeks ago, or recounted. Anyways, he said it before it ever happened and described it in perfect detail. And he said it like this. He said, nothing, God is saying, nothing will stop this. This will sweep the nation.
And no administrator is going to be able to put it down. And it will go from thousands to tens of thousands to millions will come to know Christ. And I believe that. I really do. And I hope you do too. I hope you get your faith up for it. This fire will burn sideways as if it has to. One of the testimonies that came in is they had just heard in Indonesia. There's some missionaries that just heard about what was happening in Asbury. And they got faith and went into a village and led the whole village to Christ. Come on. That's amazing. The whole village knows Jesus now. They know the author of life. The day is dawning. The morning is breaking in. The light is shining. Hope is coming. It's here. It's here. It's here. Jump in on this Kairos moment and see what God does. Finally, this last verse up here this morning. This is the rest of the verse. Therefore, repent and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed to you, Jesus. He's telling the Jewish people to give their lives to Jesus, because if they do that, then he will send Jesus to them. And he doesn't mean that he's going to come back from heaven right in that moment if they repent and return. He's talking about the presence of Jesus himself. And that's one thing that has marked this everywhere I've been tracking it, is that people feel like Jesus is actually with them. Jesus is right there with them. And this morning, he is right here with you. He hasn't gone anywhere. And he's going to be in your heart if he's not already. He's going to be in your home, and he's going to be in this house. And you're going to sense the tangible presence of Christ himself. He's setting up his throne room all over this place, everywhere. You just have to lean in. Last thing in this point, multiple subpoints about last things, is this. I love this story. There's a teenage mom and daughter who went to one of these outpourings recently. Just teenage mom and daughter, totally ordinary, normal people. They go back to their youth group that night, pray, simple prayer. God, let what we just saw happen in our youth program. What happens? For 4 hours, the youth leading just worship the Lord. The preacher's like, I feel like I can't even get up there. And they asked him, they said, well, what was it that you feel like caused all this? It was like those two over there, those two ordinary people with extraordinary hunger for God. It just cried out. It's a simple prayer. God, come. Please, will you visit us like you visited them? And I think that's the same prayer you can pray this morning. So if you're a Christian in here this morning, ask him, what do you want me to return to? What do you want me to repent of? If you don't know him this morning, let's say you've I've been following him in the past, but I'm not really following him now. Maybe you're like Jonah. You've gotten away from the presence of God, and the waves of life have just been hitting you. Return to your first love. And if today, this morning, you don't know him, this is your Kairos moment with him. This is your moment to give your life to him. So let's pray. And I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to respond. God, thank you so much, Jesus, for being with us this morning in this room. You are not far from any of us. And God, I just pray for those who are Christians in here this morning that would say, I want in on this. Just pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I want to repent of anything that you want me to repent of. Jesus, show me what it is you want me to turn away from. And then pray this. Jesus, I want to return to my first love. Show me what beautiful thing I can do for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If this morning, you guys keep bowing your heads, if this morning you would say, you know, I really haven't really been following Jesus. I know Jesus, I used to follow him. I'm here because, if I'm being honest, baptisms or friend brought me. It's no accident you're here though. And even now, not because of anything that was necessarily set up here, but because the Holy Spirit's drawing you towards himself this morning, saying, come back in. Get out of the waves. Get out of the raging sea and come back to me. If you sense that this morning, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I'm coming back in. God, forgive me of all my sin. I let go of the things that I've been holding on to that aren't you. And this morning, I hold on to your cloak. I hold on to you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I just feel like God said that you need to get connected. You need to get in a small group. You need to start going to church here. You need to start showing up. And then finally this morning, last prayer. If you don't know Jesus, and you know you don't know him, and you can sense the Holy Spirit drawing you this morning to him, and you say, I know he's calling me. I know he's calling me home. And you haven't given your life to Jesus before. You're like, I want to this morning. I'm here for a baptism maybe, or a friend brought me, or I just walked in off the streets. But if I'm being honest, I'm sad and I'm depressed and I need refreshing from Jesus. And I can feel the Holy Spirit saying, say yes. If that's you, I want you with every head bowed, every eye closed, raise your hand this morning if that's you. If you want to give your life to Jesus. Great, I see you. Yeah, I see you. All right, pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I bend my knee at your throne. I give my life to you because you gave your life for me. From this day forward, I am yours and you are mine. I repent of all my sin and I hold fast to you from this day forward. All the days of my life are yours. In your name I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give God a hand? Come on. There's some people who raised their hands. I mean, let's join heaven. Heaven's rejoicing. Come on. Come on. This is a new day for you. This is a new day. God's on the move. This is a new day. Praise God. All right. Well, I'm excited to see what God does at GCF in Greenville. Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate y'all. And excited. So excited.
Amen. Thank you, Alan. Can we give the Lord a hand for Alan this morning?